Shall we open our Bibles to Psalm 18, verses 29 to 31? Psalm 18, 29 to 31. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Our topic today is Gibraltar of Truth. Gibraltar is found on the southern west peninsula of Europe, part of Spain's southern west peninsula. Nonetheless, it belongs to British monarchy. This particular place is well known for its huge rock formations, hard granite fortifies this area. Despite long sieges, it seemed that there was nothing that could destroy the rock or its people. So the history has inspired the saying, solid as the rock of Gibraltar, which is used to describe a person or situation that cannot be overcome and does not fail. Now, the motto of the Royal Gibraltar Regiment is very interesting. I am not a Latin scholar, otherwise I would have read it out, but it means in English, no enemy shall expel us, or no enemy shall conquer us. And that is the idea that comes from that word, which is found in today's title. In other words, the truth of God's word is invincible. It is unassailable, unconquerable. It is for God's people to embrace by faith and build their lives upon the truth of God's word. One of the things that we notice in Psalm 18 that we read just now, which is written by David himself, that the word of the Lord in verse 30 is described as God's perfect way. As for God, His way is perfect. Then he further explains that statement by saying the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to those that trust in Him. God's ways are perfect. And how do we know God's ways? How do we know God's perfect ways? Through His revelation, through His revealed word. And as far as the word of God is concerned, it is perfect. But He explains the perfection of God's word in this way. The word of the Lord is tried. In other words, it is tested against all the trials and all kinds of attack that have been brought against it. It has been put to test in many different ways. Those who trusted it put it to test by simply being obedient and refusing to neglect the truth. No matter what would come, they would just stay by the truth. And that gave those who trust the Lord an opportunity to see the perfection, the invincible nature of the truth. But there are also those who went against it, trying to destroy it. They thought they could destroy the scriptures before they would die. But they found themselves to be the victims of the power of God's word. The judgments that are predicted in the Bible against those who hate it have come upon them. But the Bible, the book of books, continue to remain forever. So, dear friends, as we now come together to study the series of messages on the wonderful book that God has given to us, even the Holy Bible, it is important for us to understand its nature. It is a book of truth because it is the revelation of God's perfect ways. God has revealed His word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16. It's God's own revelation, and therefore its content is perfect. Every word, every letter, and every portion of a letter is perfect and shall remain perfect to the very end, because God wants it to be so. And so, for us, it is a great joy to have this book in our hands and to read it and study it. We never get tired of it. We never get dull in the reading of the scriptures. It always excites us because it not only reveals to us what God has for us, His will and purposes, but it also energizes us. It is the very power of God. This being God's truth, it is packed with God's own power. It is the power unto salvation. It is God's power unto our sanctification. It is by the truth we are sanctified. It is a power that gives us hope in the midst of extreme trials. It is what gives us the hope, even in the midst of sorrow and bereavement. This is full of God's power. It is life unto us, so we even sing the wonderful words of life. No matter what would be thrown at us by the devil, the enemy of our soul, if we have found our refuge in the Word of God, then we can be absolutely sure no fiery dart of the devil would ever penetrate our soul to destroy it. We will be guarded by this impregnable rock of God's Word, its promises, its commandments, its consolations, its hope will be our defense. And that's why David said, in the midst of all his troubles, you know, David was a victorious man on many occasions, but he also experienced extreme trials of life, whether it be from his closest friends or his own family members. He have often been betrayed and treated with such cruelty. And he was a man of many sorrows and many troubles. But what make him go through all these troubles? See, David says in verse 29, "For by thee I have run through a troop." He run at the troop and then went through the troop, he says. Whether it be his first experience of going against the Philistines as the giant Philistine Goliath challenged him, or in other times when he went against all the different heathenistic nations that came against Israel, he sought the Lord and he ran at them and went through that troop as a victorious man. And he even says, "By my God have I leaped over a wall." He doesn't take any glory to himself. He attributes all the victories that he experienced to God himself. And he never, in all these situations, he did not move to do anything at all without God's permission, without God's word. He consulted the Lord. Of course, there were times he has sinned against God's will, and he paid the price for it. He is repentful of those things. But now he tells us here how he has enjoyed great victories, great strength in times of weakness, great boldness and courage in times of threatenings and violence which were thrown at him. Even armies of the world could not in any way bring down his resoluteness. He was so solid as a rock. He could just cut through the armies, even though they were big in number or large in number. Nothing could stop him. His life was full of activities, victories after victories, for God's sake. How did he manage it? Well, he says, oh, by my God. By my God. But how did your God help you, David? And that's what he explained, which I briefly mentioned before. Verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler. He is a shield. He is a defense to all those that trust in him. Oh, what great joy we have in trusting in the truth of God's word. You can trust God as he speaks. You can trust every word of God's word. Word for word has been revealed by God through his servants, the prophets and the apostles, that you and I might embrace it by faith, to trust him. We can trust all the words of God's word. They are tried, they are purified. In other words, they have been tested and proven to be faithful. God has verified God's word. Dear friends, the strength of God's word is the author of it. And that author is God himself. The veracity of the truth is in the fact that it was revealed by God himself, who is God of all truth. If it was a man who wrote it, we couldn't trust it. Because man can falter. His ideas are not perfect. His imaginations can be marred with his own sin. But we have a God who is most holy, infinitely perfect, everlasting in his power, everlasting in his attributes, all of them. And that eternal God presents to us his word, which is eternal in nature. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my words shall not pass away. That eternality of God is inherent in the word. And that makes it invincible. As Peter says, citing Isaiah in 1 Peter 1, the word of the Lord endureth for ever. Why does it endure? Because the Lord himself endures. So the word of the Lord endureth forever. Storms may come, waves may hit, enemies may plan to scale this rock and bring it down, but it will not be conquered. It is unconquerable as God is. If one has to conquer the Bible, he has to conquer the author of the Bible, even God himself. You know, this makes me recall the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. Where he says to the Israelite, toward the end of his journey on earth, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgments. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. What a great confession concerning God. After serving God in the midst of a rebellious people who questioned the veracity of God's word, who questioned Moses for trusting God so invariably and giving himself to serve that God, Moses had found God to be true. His own people might betray him. His own people might come up against him. But he had that confidence in him that the Lord who called him shall never falter. The Lord who revealed his truth, his plan to him, will never falter. So at the end of all his struggles and journeys and battles, he declares without a doubt, God is the rock. How does Moses know that? Because of the word that God has spoken. God revealed himself through his word. And he trusted God's word. The more he trusted God's word, the more he realized the unchanging nature of God. The more he obeyed God, he realized how reliable is God. And so he gave God a title. Of course, when I said he gave God a title, I'm not saying it is sort of imagined or somehow worked out by Moses' mind. No. Every name, every title of God in the Bible is God's own designation. He has named himself. So when Moses says, he is our rock, he is the rock, well, it is in a way Moses' testimony, but he wouldn't understand it if God hasn't revealed it to him. And he understood it because he heard God saying those words, and also because he has experienced the real nature of those words. So he says, in total agreement with what God has revealed and what he has experienced, God is the rock. The unassailable, impregnable, indestructible, unconquerable, unassailable, invincible God. And I know that because he has spoken to me. I know that because I've trusted his word. Oh, his work is perfect. The work of God, even his word which is revealed to us, it is perfect. A God of truth, he says. A God of truth. The Roman Catholic Church challenged the authority of the Scriptures. How did they do that? Well, in order to cover up their own unbiblical practices and the sins of the popes and the priests, they have added human traditions, papal traditions, as authoritative, equally authoritative as the church. Even though those traditions and ceremonial practices of the church contradicted the Bible, they still claim that because they have been spoken by the Pope ex cathedra through the papal bulls, the commandments that the Pope has given out, the church had to accommodate the fact that, oh, whatever the Rome says is true, and no matter what it is, even if it is not perfectly consistent with the scripture, because it has been the tradition of the church, because it has been verified by the Pope, we must accept it. And people have lived with such notion for years, through the dark ages of the church. But can you suppress the truth of God's word, which is said to be forever? The word of the Lord endureth forever. Would the church that is to be the pillar of truth, or the church that should lift up the word of God and declare it, can sort of pull it down and keep it in its cellars? Can it be a forbidden book forever? Will the church be successful in doing it? They tried, but the fact is that they failed. Because God's word is invincible. Oh yes, to promote their wicked ways, wicked doctrines. They seduce the people to think that the traditions are equally authoritative. But you and I know how God's word has opened the hearts of Roman Catholics themselves, even their monks, such as Martin Luther. And when they read the Bible, the truth burned in their heart, and they came with a great slogan of 16th century Protestant Reformation. What's that? Sola Scriptura. Sola Scriptura. Who taught them the truth of God's word? Where did they find that truth? In the pages of the Bible. Oh, blessed be His name. God has His way of working in the history. God has a way of bringing out His truth even in the pit darkness of sin and falsehood. That is why you and I today enjoy studying God's word and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Oh, what great blessing come upon us. Thank God we don't have to come before God doing all the ceremonial rites of the church, wondering whether we will have a chance to get to heaven. But today, knowing the gospel truth of the Bible, you and I can be seated here saying, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance, my sins are forgiven. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. For the truth has been revealed to us. How did it happen? It is not by the power of man. It is not by the intelligence of Martin Luther. Well, I am not questioning his intellectual powers. He was a very brilliant man, but that alone would not have done this. There is an irrepressible, unconquerable power within the Bible, and that is God's own power. And that has unleashed the truth to us. And we rejoice in that truth. Well, my dear friends, not everybody loves this treasure as you and I. Even today, even in the Protestant churches like ours, there are men who really question the perfection of the Scriptures. There are people who doubt the ability of the Word of God to endure infallibly to the very end. They still say, oh, scribes have made errors in copying it. There have been deliberate efforts to distort the Bible. So we cannot say the Bible is perfect. We can say the Bible was perfect when it was first written. But we cannot say the Bible is perfect. What is wrong with these people? I tell you what is wrong with the people who say such things. They have not been convicted in their heart as they should concerning the invincible power of God. The unconquerable power of God. Who said, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Yes, we do agree there were scribal errors. As we do agree men tried to distort it. We have no problem saying those things. But we have a big problem in saying those errors and deliberate attack of people have distorted the truth. You know why? Our God is above and beyond man's attack. And so is His word. God has His way of protecting, preserving, and keeping, and then declaring His truth forever. This we must believe. Through centuries, many have tried to destroy it. They burned its sacred pages, not only trying to change the words, but even burned the copies of the Bible. And they deliberately kept people from it by unleashing persecution on those who loved the truth and preached it. If one had occupied, or one had, if one has possessed a copy of the Bible, he probably had to pay for it by his own life. But God has overruled all these situations. Well, so we must say today, skeptics and scoffers would try to get us to disbelieve the truth, to be perfect. But the Bible endures. The Bible lives on. God's word is indestructible because God made it so. His ways are perfect. His word is a buckler to those who trust. Our churches have only one means of enduring all the oppositions that we face, whether it will be the attack of sin or falsehood or persecution. There is only one way our faith and our community of believers, the church, can survive. You know what is that? The power of God's word. The unconquerable power of God's word. If we are committed to believe it, if we are committed to preach it, if we are committed to obey it, this shall preserve us. It's a buckler to those who trust. We don't need to have this huge and wonderful sanctuary. Praise God for this. I'm not asking you to pull it down. Please keep it and maintain it. But we can survive even if this building is bulldozed and leveled to the ground. We can survive under the trees. We can survive in jungles if we have the truth. But throw it away, what do you have? On what you will build your faith? On what you will find the security of your souls? The truth. The truth. That alone help us to go on. Oh. Dear friends, in verse 30 of Psalm 18, David said, "He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." You know, there is something so invincible about the effect of God's word. Not only its nature is so unconquerable and unassailable, but when you trust it and when you imbibe the blessings of the truth of God's word, you are going to be blessed by its own peculiar power to abide and overcome the tribulations that we face. There are many kinds of troubles. Like the persecution that was unleashed by the Roman Catholic Church against the reformers. They tried to burn the people. They tried to destroy the congregations that met in the name of Christ and His word. But they survived, and we are a testimony to the powerful effect of God's word that can sustain the people who are redeemed by the truth of God's word. You know, that's why Jesus said in Matthew 18, hell cannot prevail against the church. The church is built upon the great truth of Christ. But not just that alone. In our individual life, there is great power at work if you have yielded your life to the truth of God's word. There is an unstoppable power of God at work in the life of every person. I have a young lady in my church, 16 years old, is going through chemotherapy, and she just completed the seventh round of chemotherapy for lymphoma. She's supposed to take her O-levels, but she had to pull away from it because she can't attend the classes. She was very troubled about this whole ordeal. A week ago, when I visited her with my wife, we talk about her experiences. I ask her, "Sister, how do you feel when you go through all these side effects of chemotherapy?" You know, she has terrible experiences during her last round of chemotherapy. Well, suddenly her mother answered for her. "Well, Pastor," she says, "that she wants to thank the Lord for the cancer, because she learned through this terrible experience that she can rely on God's word all the time." And then as I was listening to that testimony, I felt, could it be that they are thinking that this young lady will be healed completely? And that's my prayer and hope. Nonetheless, nobody knows whether she will live on, whether she will overcome. In fact, I sincerely pray that she will be delivered from this sickness. But you see, God's word does not always promise us that we will live on this earth. It is appointed unto man once to die. So says the Bible in Hebrews 9:27. So I immediately said to both the mother and daughter, "Sisters, can I say something which may not be the most interesting thing to listen to? It may be troubling. But as your pastor, I think it's important that I strengthen you through God's word, even for the worst of experiences in this world." And I think the mother immediately sensed what I'm going to say. She looked at me very intently. And the young lady was not so excited. She just looked very normal. Maybe she didn't show it on her face or what. I'm not sure. But I'm just recalling that whole process. Then I said, "Young sister, all this treatment that you've undergone may not work for you. I pray that God be merciful to heal you, but I also want you to believe that God is still merciful. God is still gracious to you, even though you have to die." She looked at me, the young lady, and she smiled. I felt so comforted. If she start to cry, then I will really have a problem. And I said, "This earthly house of this tabernacle will slowly disintegrate for all of us. Some a little early, some a little late. Some in their youthful days, some in their advanced age. But we all have to experience this. But we have a great promise that we will take on that glorified body that Christ has prepared for us, that we might live with him in the eternal heavens, like what 2 Corinthians 5:1 teaches us." She sat through what I said, and she nodded her head. And then after I left, they sent a testimony to be published in the Church Weekly. And I read that. I was so comforted knowing that the power of God's promise has given that young lady the grace to look beyond her dark days on earth with hopeful eyes. And it's not going to be her own experience. It's going to be the experience of all of us who have trusted in Christ. But how can we have such confidence when everything around us seems to break down? Nothing that is done to secure our life on earth works. It doesn't hold. They all just fall apart. But how can we be confident? There's only one way. By trusting in the veracity, in the truthfulness, in the abiding nature of God's promises. And I hope you will not give up this truth, that God's truth is unconquerable. Neither the enemy who is at work to destroy the truth that we preach in the Bible, nor even the trials and testings of our faith can destroy us. For our life is built upon the rock. Like Jesus' parable in Matthew chapter 7. Wise is a man who built his house upon the rock, and which is the word of God. May God give you the grace. And thank God for many men who understood this great truth and given their life to make it available to us today. Why would they give their life like that? Why would they not accept deliverance from their trouble and give up this fight for the truth? Why would they allow affliction to come? Why would they consciously walk into all these terrible assault by the enemy? Why would they want to be burned? Simply this: if they were to keep quiet about the truth and the abiding nature of God's truth, they are the biggest loser. Because God's word is going to continue to abide, but they will be counted out of its blessings. You know, dear friends, what I'm basically saying in this last section of my message is this. If you do not stand up for the truth, whether it's in your house or in your workplace or in your school, to believe, to obey, and to declare, because you are embarrassed about the truth, because you are ashamed of the fight that's going on, then you are the loser. Because you didn't fight a fight of good faith. You have not fought a good fight of faith. You have given it up too easily. But look at this cloud of witnesses before us. The reformers. The great men of God who stood for the truth and fought. We have a reason for this fight. We are in the midst of a battle. And we believe certainly in the veracity of God's word, the perfection of God's word. We would say this: God's word was perfect as he inspired the writings and gave it to us. It has been always perfect. It is perfect today, and it shall be so forever. Why? Because it is God's power. It is the power of God's nature that is at work in order to secure our salvation and to preserve us forever. If you don't believe in the power of God's word, if you don't believe its ability to overcome all the trials and secure us forever, you have nothing to hold on to. You are in sinking ground. You are sinking. But if you have found the firm foothold on the truth of God's word, then it will be an impregnable rock upon which you can stand and live your life for the glory of God. May God fill your hearts with deep convictions concerning the truth of God's word, so that you might live on it always, and then your life might display the power of God and his salvation. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, We know the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. Once again, you have taught us from your word that we must have perfect assurance concerning the unchanging, ever-abiding nature of the Scriptures. Lord, if there is doubt and fear within us, then may you correct us, we pray. Gently, may you work in our hearts. Strengthen our weakened souls. Strengthen our frightened spirits. O, make us strong in thy word, that we may be valiant in every aspect of our life. We thank you that thy truth is our defense. And we thank you the word of God is a sword of the Spirit, that we might fight the battle well. Teach us to stand firm. May the word be a good foothold for our feet. May it be the strength of our heart. May it be the sword of the Spirit in our hands. And help us to fight well as Christian soldiers and live our lives for the glory of our Savior. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.